Well, please have your Bibles open at Psalm 86, verse 15. Now, is there anyone here who likes test match cricket? Yep, one, two, and at least two people put their hands up very quickly and then put their hands down. Has anyone ever watched a full five-day international all the way through? No, no one's putting their hand up for that. I did once or twice, I think, when I was a student, and students get these wonderful 3 months holidays. And in those days, we got grants, so I didn't have to work that much. So I used to watch test match cricket. And I have watched a full five-day international. And it really is a long-running and endurance activity, isn't it? For people who like long-running strategy and sport, there's very little that beats test match cricket. It requires discipline, concentration, endurance and patience. And the team that lacks patience is the team that loses. It's the one that rushes ahead, that tries to bowl people out quickly. They get knocked all over the field. And the person who tries to score runs quickly, well, they're the ones who end up being caught out or being bowled out or something like that. It's a game that requires both skill and patience. And today, we seem to live in a world that's opposite of patience, isn't it? We seem to live in a world that wants everything right here and right now. Maybe that's why they've had to introduce 2020 cricket, a much quicker and faster game, because people want that excitement of rapid runs and people being bowled out straight away and things like that. Patience requires endurance and self-control. And there are two attitudes that our society really do seem to have abandoned. Today we have fast food, instant credit, and if you feel you want something, you're encouraged to just go out there and take it. Working, planning, saving up, waiting a long time for something is no longer seen as a virtue, which is a real pity, because patience is one of the most valuable things that we can have. And we are all here this evening because God has got incredible patience. And that's what we're focusing on tonight, how there's a link between the patience of God and how it relates to our salvation and Jesus' work on the cross. And this is a subject which is rarely thought about today. Maybe it's because patience has fallen out of fashion with our society. But as we explore this subject, we will see that the patience of God is something that is truly wonderful. And it will hopefully enrich our understanding of the wonderful work of salvation that our Lord and Savior completed for us while he was on the cross. And our investigation into patience starts off with the first of our readings, Psalm 86, verse 15, which is one of those verses that you could really spend hours digging into. But you, Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. And it's a lovely description of what God is like, of God's character. And in the context, it's given as part of the psalmist's prayer for rescue from his enemies. He's in trouble and he's turning to God. And he's turning to God because of what God is like, of the sort of person that God is. We all know, don't we, that different people react to other people according to their personalities. Some people, they've got personalities which are quite angry and rude and aggressive and self-centered, and that's not the sort of person you go to for help, is it? When you are in need of help, you need to go to someone who is compassionate and gracious, who's patient and full of love and faithfulness. And that's what Psalm 86:15 is telling us that God is like. He is compassionate, which means that when he hears about a problem, when he hears about a situation, he doesn't say, oh, well, that's nothing to do with me, or I don't care. He understands where people are, and he's gracious, he's full of grace, which means that he gives people what they do not deserve. Good things that people do not deserve, God gives to them. And we also see here that he's described as slow to anger. He is patient. And It's lovely, isn't it, that he is slow to anger. And he's abounding with love. And this is a steadfast love, an unconditional love. And he's full of faithfulness. And a faithful person always keeps their promises. So we can trust God. And while we could spend a lot of time unpacking all this, the key part of this for us this evening is that God is slow to anger. He is patient with us, even when he's got great cause to be angry. Because the one thing that makes God angry is, of course, sin. Sin is the rejection of God. It's the stealing of his glory. It's when people turn their backs upon God and do not give him the worship that they should. And then those people, they start bullying, exploiting and hurting themselves and one another. Sin is the opposite of what God is like. And there's no place for sin in God's creation. Yet despite this rebellion and this insult towards him, which is an active and growing insult, God is slow to anger. He is patient. There's a lovely term which is a little bit old-fashioned now. He's long-suffering. He's able to put up with things which are uncomfortable and difficult for a long time. Today we live in an age where people are so often, they will moan about anything that goes wrong straight away. But not God. He is long-suffering. He is patient. And patience itself is a wonderful virtue because it shows that the individual is both wise and self-controlled. How many of us are guilty of showing a lack of patience? And we've quickly heard something, we've got angry or worked up about it, responded to an email straight away or put a comment on Facebook or something like that, and we've done it far too quickly. And then 5 minutes later we're going, ooh, I wish I hadn't said that. I wish I hadn't written at that or something like that. Wisdom is slow to speak. Wisdom is patient. People who are not patient rush in and make mistakes. God is patient, and he always responds at the right time in the appropriate way. And we know that he's able to do all things because he has all power. God is incredibly powerful. There is nothing that he cannot do. And we have to remember that this is the God who is angry at us because of our sin. And there is no defense against him. There is nothing that we can do to protect ourselves from him. But God shows incredible self-control. Now we all know, don't we, that true strength is shown not through the exercise of force, but rather through restraint. When the powerful person chooses not to squash that small, irritating person. God's patient attitude towards sin emphasizes his wisdom, his power, and his self-control. And this means that if we only look in the short term, it can look like sin goes unpunished. As a constant topic in the Old Testament, why is it that the wicked seem to get all the good things and live comfortable lives, while the righteous seem to suffer and find life really difficult? Why do so many sins seem to go unpunished? And if we think like this, then we are guilty of falling into the trap of our culture with its desire for fast food and instant responses. God always plays the long game, like test match cricket. And in test match cricket, while the events of a single over are important, what really matters is the final result. And the final result is that God will deal with all sin appropriately and in the right way. And God's patience pushes the punishment of sins in one of two directions. There's two ways that the punishment of sin goes. So first of all, while people think that they can get away with ignoring with God today, it will catch up with them one day when they stand before God. Each one of us has got an appointment when we will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything will be brought back up. It's a bit like how sometimes the police will take a long time to build a watertight case against an individual or an organization that's breaking the law. Everyone knows that they're breaking the law. But in order for the punishment to be appropriate and to really stick, they have to, as it were, build a case. And that takes time. And people may get frustrated about that. But then when they move and they sort the problem out, it's sorted out for good. In God's case, the longer a person continues to sin, the greater the number of times that person is not being full of gratitude for God's blessings. Or it may be that they hear the gospel message time and time again, but they fail to reach out in faith. They fail to thank God for all the good things that he's done for them. And that means that when that person stands before God, then God's justice is going to really be brought out to the forefront, because it will be clear to everyone that the person is definitely guilty. And we all know that a just God will always punish people appropriately. And as justice is done, God's name will be glorified. So that's one way that punishment can go. And God's patience, as it were, pushes the punishment forward in time until the individual stands before Jesus. But for our purposes this evening, and more importantly, there's a second way that God's patience pushes the punishment of sins in another direction. And that's onto the shoulders of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And just turning your Bibles to the Romans 3 passage. And these are, well, this has been described as the most important paragraph ever written when we look at all of it from verse 21 to 26. But we're just thinking about 25 and 26. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance he had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. And here we have the answer to how a holy and just God, who has got to punish sin, can also be a good and merciful God and allow people a way to be forgiven. He is patient and overlooks punishment for a while because he knows that there is that substitute that he has provided, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the wrong deeds of those who put their faith in him are laid upon his shoulders, and all the consequences for those wrong deeds are poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ is really and truly punished for the things that you and I have done wrong. Justice is satisfied completely. Sin is punished completely. But Jesus stands in as a substitute for those who have faith in him. And that's the wonderful news of the gospel. And as we look at verse 26 of Romans 3, we see how God's patience, his forbearance, is critical. Forbearance is a little bit like mercy. It's a withholding of a punishment which the person deserves. So the person deserves to be punished, but that person isn't punished at that time. And for all of God's people, God's forbearance is absolutely critical. If we think about the people who are there in the Old Testament, God's forbearance is so important. Yes, the people in the Old Testament, they've been faithful to the revelation that they have received. They are doing what the law requires. They are making the sacrifices, and they had faith that God would sort it out. But as it says quite clearly in Hebrews 10 verse 4, it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. All of the sacrificial lambs and other animals, they were a type of Christ. They were a foreshadowing of Christ that reminded the people again and again of the cost of sin and how sin can only be forgiven through the shedding of blood. But all of these sacrifices didn't cleanse them. They pointed to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. And because they were just foreshadowing the forgiveness that comes through Jesus, it means that for those who understood what was going on, God could have been accused, if anyone dares do such a thing, of sweeping the sins of his people under the carpet. But God is patient. He was holding back the punishment for these sins until the time was right, when his son went to the cross and his righteous anger against those sins was poured out in full. So we see that the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's paying for the sins committed before he actually died, as well as for the sins committed after he has died as well. And for us today, it's much easier to see, isn't it? We look back in time to the cross. We know about his death, and we received a greater revelation from the Lord. God put up with sin for thousands of years. And even when he brought judgment, such as during the flood, the people were always given plenty of opportunity to repent and turn back to God. We see God's patience right through the pages of Scripture, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, and in our own life. Were you punished for your sins before you trusted in Christ? We weren't, were we? Would you be here today if God had treated you as your sins deserved before you had faith in him? Because God is perfectly within his rights to punish a sin the moment it is committed. But he is patient. He is long-suffering. He is filled with forbearance. You see, God has the great benefit of being outside of time so that he knows everything and he sees all things. He always looks at the big picture. He always works in the long term. And this takes us to 2 Peter 3, verse 9. And this well-known verse illustrates how God is patient because he does not want anyone to perish, but rather he wants everyone to repent. And it's a good job that God is like this, because it's not just in our own lives. It's down through the generations as well. Just think about your own family line. I don't know if any of you have researched your family line or not, but in every family line, there's some people who are saints, and some people who are sinners, and some people who are even worse. God is able to look at an individual, and God knows that that person's great-grandson will be a born-again believer. So punishment is held off so that the great-grandson will have the opportunity to repent. This is something that we see in Scripture when we look at the Old Testament kings. You know, King Ahaz, he was quite a bad king. He did great wicked things. He deserved to be punished. But his son was Hezekiah, one of the best kings in the Old Testament. So the punishment was held off so that Hezekiah could be born. God really does see the big picture, and he withholds his wrath because he knows that down the line there will be born-again Christians born into that line. And that's a great thing for us, because none of us have got an unbroken line of people going all the way back to the time of Christ who have trusted in Jesus as Lord and Savior. None of us have. So God's patience is absolutely incredible. And that means that he's willing to endure the pollution of sin, because he knows that given time, more and more people will be brought to saving faith. That's why the punishment that was laid upon Adam and Eve was less than they deserved when they sinned at the very start of time. The punishment for their sin was deferred to the future so that the human race could spring up, and then down through the pages of history, people and angels could look at and wonder at the patience and mercy of God. I've got a lovely quote from the old writer Stephen Sharnock, and he wrote, "Goodness sets God upon the exercise of patience, and patience sets many a sinner on running into the arms of mercy. The mercy which makes God ready to embrace returning sinners makes him willing to bear with them in their sins and wait their return." This evening, we are sitting here reflecting upon these things, and we're able to break bread together as believers because God is patient. He holds off the punishment for sin so that people like you and I can turn to him and repent. And, of course, he is patient with us through our own lives. We're not born Christians. We all turn to him. There's all a period in our lives when we are running away from God. But God in his mercy is patient with us until the time is right to call us back. And then as we grow as Christians, we all know that God's patience is incredible, because so often we take a couple of steps forward and then more steps back. And sometimes we go off in the wrong direction and we do the wrong thing, and we've got to go in reverse and go all the way back to basics and then head off again in the right direction. God is patient with us and works in us to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. He is patient with us and allows us to turn to him in repentance. And if God had not been patient with this world, then mankind would never have been saved. There would have been no need for a substitute, because everyone would have been punished as soon as they sinned. But God, in his forbearance, waited until the time was right so that his wrath could be poured out upon the Lord Jesus Christ. As we break bread together now, let us marvel at God's patience, as well as wonder at his love, as we reflect upon the great sacrifice our Lord and Savior made. Amen.